On 98FM and online at phoenixfm.com. Local radio for Brentwood and Billericay.
With a bottle of Crown, watch the ball game settle down. Tom stared after two or three cans. I was out of the door, she made a damn plan. Down the door to Sam Hall again. This weather let out of a big amen. Tight jeans on, get that liquor, let's get it on. In a stranger's field, a soul to be found. She invites me to come and have a look around. Yeah, hits the back of my truck, kicks down the door. No, she knows that I'm an angry fool. And as the jeans slide down to her knees, I beg you, darling.
Lovely, cuddly Peter Donegan and Soldier. What a great tune that is. I love that. It's really up and oomphy. And on the phone right now, I have the lovely, cuddly Peter Donegan. How are you, Peter?
Oh, you calling me cuddly?
Yeah, everyone's lovely and cuddly as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, you said you didn't open those pictures I sent you.
I wasn't going to tell you till after the interview, but nevertheless, you've just let the cat out of the bag.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Doesn't matter how.
Now everybody knows our secret.
Yes, they do. How are you, my friend, anyway?
I'm all right, Ian. Thank you very much. My brain is fried today after last weekend because it's been absolutely crazy.
I bet it has. You've had a humdinger of a weekend, as they say.
Oh, I have, yeah. I mean, because, you know, I put on the event on Saturday, which was the 65th anniversary of Rock Island, which, to be fair, the day started for me, it was sort of around 10-ish when we were unveiling the plaque, the blue plaque that they put up for Dad in London.
Where was that? Was that at Decca Records?
It's what used to be Decca Recording Studios, yeah, now of the English National Opera. And so that's gone up on a listed building there. And those plaques are huge, by the way. They're bigger than I thought they were.
I bet they are. I've got to go and see that. I would have liked to have gone, but I don't get up that early on a Saturday.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there all day now.
That's good, then. I can get out there when I'm in London and go and have a look.
Yes, exactly. So, it's that's beautiful. And it's about bloody time, as Dad would have said.
Yeah, true.
It's just beautiful. And it's great that we were able to do it on the 65th anniversary that he recorded. Rock Island 9, which is the hit that Dad released and changed the British music industry.
Well, of course. I mean, let's face it. People say the Beatles did this and the Beatles did that, but there were people before the Beatles, and I think one of the main ones was the one and only Lonnie Donegan.
Actually, George Harrison came up with two quotes about Dad, because, I mean, him and Dad used to get on really, really well. One was, no Lonnie, no Beatles.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, John Lennon, when he was, you know, when he formed the Quarrymen skiffle group, basically just used to do my dad's act, you know, which, along with a lot of other skiffle groups, because I think that the statistics is it's one in four men in Great Britain back then were in a skiffle group.
Well, even Joe Brown. Wasn't Joe Brown in a skiffle group as well?
Yep, he was. And he was with us on Saturday as well. Joe Brown, because he was Joe Brown and the Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, you had the Vipers skiffle group, the Quarrymen, was it John Henry skiffle group? And the John Henry skiffle group was with Chris Farlow, you know.
Even Jimmy Page started playing skiffle, didn't he?
Yeah, Jimmy Page, Brian May, you know, from Queen.
Wow.
And the list goes on. Van Morrison was too. You know, and that's that. I mean, we had Van with us on Saturday.
That was a cue, I bet.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I've known Van since 1996.
Oh right.
Because I mean, him and Dad released a couple of albums together. Used to go on tour. I was my dad's PA then, before I was his piano player. You know, well, I'm just wandering around being the filter, you know, for Dad, and making sure he took his heart medication, because he had a dodgy heart, bless him, he was born with, you know.
Yeah, we've always got to look after our parents when we get older.
Yeah, exactly. You know, well, I used to tease him all the time. I said, "Daddy, hell," I said, "it's probably not long before I'm changing your diapers next," you know. Yeah, he didn't like that. But, you know, that's the way it was, you know. So I've known Van for a long time. And it was great to have Van there last night. I keep thinking it's still last night. Last night, I was at the FSA Country Music Festival. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Saturday. Yeah.
You have been busy.
Yeah, I have. But in a good way.
That's good. And
but Saturday wiped me out, because, I mean, you named it. It was from me, because I did the graphic editing, the video editing. I was the artist liaison. I was, you know, I designed all of the merchandise. And, of course, I'm in charge of everything on the day as well.
And you played as well?
And I played, yeah.
Yeah. Did you play piano as well as guitar, or just...
Yeah.
You did everything?
Yeah, well, I have to go to the piano, because I do Never Fall in Love Again.
Of course. Which you did on The Voice. That brings me nicely round to that.
I did, yes. You like how I put that in there.
I am going to tell you something I haven't told anybody, but when you did that and Tom Jones started singing, I cried.
Oh, bless you. You know what it is? If I wasn't so focused on do not mess this up because you are playing piano and it's just you and Tom here, I probably would have as well.
Oh, it was just filled with emotion. It really was.
It really was. I mean, if you watch that audition back... you know, when Tom turned, and I'm singing Bless the Broken Road, you know, the Rascal Flatts hit.
Yeah.
As he turned around, it was that kind of, it's a release, excitement, oh my God kind of thing, and it's Tom who I wanted in the first place. You know, and it was very difficult not to cry at the end of that.
Yeah, I know. I watched your face. It was just charged with emotion.
And then, you know, when he says, well, you know that song, you know, that your dad did for me? I said, yeah. He said, do you want to do it? I'm like, well, I'm not going to repeat what was going on in my head. not through the watershed anyway.
I mean, a bit of it cut out,
because obviously it's edited, because if they put on everybody's full, everything what happened in the auditions, I mean, the bloody show's still be running now.
Of course it would, yeah.
And what they cut out was just the boring bits, you know, where I basically had to ask, you know, Tom, what key does he want to do it in? Because they asked the band and they said, well, we know the song, but we don't know it well enough to do it, you know. And just those bits and bobs, really, you know. And also the fact that we did the song in its entirety, actually.
You did, yes, I know.
You know, I've had lots of people go in and say, oh, it's a fix, it's a scandal, because, I mean, the band, you know, they came straight in like that. There's no way they would have known that to come in there. I go, well, actually, they'd had two verses and two choruses to suss the song out before we did it.
Yeah, plus it's editing as well, if they hadn't have already done that.
Yeah, exactly. It's all edited afterwards, you see, because actually we recorded all of that in October.
Yeah.
You know, so people don't realise that kind of thing that happens, you know. But But then it's credit to the editing crew, really.
they did a good job. I've got to tell you, I'm a singer as well as a DJ, and sometimes I put that, it depends what audience I'm playing to, sometimes I put I'll Never Fall in Love Again in my set, but I now sing it with a different mindset, because I didn't realise, I've got to be honest with you, Dad wrote it.
Yeah, well, not a lot of people do. You know, not a lot of people do. It's like not a lot of people realise that it's Willie Nelson's son that's written a lot of the A Star Is Born soundtrack, you know?
Yeah, I know.
And the fact that it's, you know, then it's also produced by, what's his name, that did Uptown Funk and stuff like that. With
Bruno Pharrell Mars. Williams?
No, not him.
Oh, Bruno Mars.
Yeah, well, Bruno Mars and, what's his name? I forgot his name. He did Valerie and stuff like that as well.
Oh, Mark Ronson.
Mark Ronson, that's it.
Yes, I know. We'll have those days, but you've had a heavy weekend. I don't blame you.
I know. So I apologise for that. a lot of the people behind songs, you know, don't get the public recognition necessarily. But not that, that's fine. A lot of people behind the scenes don't care anyway.
This is true. They, as long as it goes out and the product's there, they're and they get paid, they're happy.
Well, yeah, because there's something to be said for, you know, you can sit there and go, yeah, I wrote that, it's beautiful, oh, it's a hit. So you can sit there and not have the pressure of the fame that the artist that's singing it does, you know.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
But you get the recognition from within the industry, which is fine. So there you go. And, so not a lot of people knew that. It was nice knowing for people that, and I've always wanted to meet Tom. I've never met him before. Almost happened once before in Spain, but didn't quite materialise. It was funny because I spoke to Mark, his son, afterwards, and he said to me, because Tom had his, in his mind, he heard a tone in my voice, and he was going to say, talk about my dad and say, well, you sound like him. He was a big friend of mine, and we wrote Never Fall in Love Again. When he said, he said, Donegan, he said, in relation to money, expecting me to go, who? Or no, you know. And then when I said, yeah, that's my dad, he said, not to commit for sex, you can see in his face.
Yeah.
I was saying, no. Really? I said, yeah. You should know.
You know, that's my ambition to sing for Tom Jones. I've auditioned for The Voice twice and only got as far as the shortlist.
Right. Well, it's a long process before you get to the TV audition.
Oh, I know.
You know, I did three or four callbacks, I think I did in the end.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, if you know you've got, you know, a good set of lungs on you.
Yeah.
It's all about picking the right song.
That's true.
It's all about picking the right song that shows who you are and shows emotion while also showing vocal range at the same time. It's not easy doing that.
No, I don't think I've done that yet. I've got to be honest with you, I don't think I've done that yet. I pick songs I think are right for me, but they're not.
Yeah, and it's a tough one. But The Voice is a better show for it than a lot of the others.
Oh, yeah.
I know some people have been on both.
Yeah.
You know, audition-wise, and they all say The Voice is nicer, because I was really, really nicely on that show.
Well, I like the audition process for that. The audition process for that was a lot better than The X Factor. Even when it changed to ITV, the audition process was exactly the same. I got scouted twice. For a couple of jams, and so I skipped a bit of the process, but again, I only got so far. But as you said, it's the right song and the right tone of voice and how you sing it, and I don't think I've achieved that yet.
Well, see, the thing is, they do a lot of scouting. I mean, all of the shows do scouting.
Oh yeah,
and The Voice do it all, because what they're looking for is number one, they need to fill the ranks.
Yeah,
and they're looking for a certain level of performer.
Of course.
And I was scouted actually from doing Country to Country Festival.
Oh, wow.
They saw that. They saw my YouTube footage. So my advice to all artists out there, up and coming, you know, and original artists, because The Voice is actually looking for people that can write their own stuff. That's one of the things that they said when they called me up. Because obviously that shows, as far as Universal Records, Polydor, Universal, who give you the contract at the end of it,
yeah,
you can produce stuff.
Of course, yeah, that's true.
You know, so it's always nice to have people through that, like that, that can produce their own material. It wasn't until we got quite through to like the round two or round three, where we were going through the biogs and stuff like that, and they said, well, why are you singing, why are you singing this and why are you singing that? Because I was doing a bunch of country stuff, and I also chucked in Rock Island. They were like, what are you doing? And I said, oh, my dad's, you know, Lonnie, so this is one of his hits, you know, and I just wanted to show some up-tempo and gutsy,
yeah,
you know, and a lot more rootsy. And they were like, oh, cool, all right, and this is like round three, you know, they didn't know. And then they're like, okay, yeah, so, I mean, we want you to country artist stuff because the country's becoming huge, so we want you to do this, and here's a bunch of songs for you to pick from. And I thought, okay, cool. So I ended up, I picked Rascal Flatts' song. It was their one of their choices, but I picked it because I know it and like it, you know.
Yeah.
And the key is to come up with something. I'm obviously going to do cover songs while you're on there, but to come up with your own version of it.
Yeah, that they prefer that as well, and I've noticed that. But
yeah, they want originality.
But it got you a foot up, I suppose, into being a bit more recognised as an artist, which is also a good thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, because obviously, you know, for me, in America it's not the same thing as it is for me, but in England it's a case of, you know, people go, oh, you're going from England, oh, go on, you sing chewing gum, you know, go on, sing Ticket Bale of Cotton, and I'm like, yeah, and I spoke to Jasmine Rogers, you know, Paul Rogers' daughter, and she said, yeah, it's a fun thing to do. First to a gig, and they go, are you going to do some free songs? She says, no, and they go, why not? She says, because my name's Jasmine Rogers.
Yeah.
Not Paul. She says, if you want to go see my dad, it's different.
You're not going to walk out on the stage and start the opening lines to Battle of New Orleans, are you?
Well, not unless I'm doing a specific, you know, like Saturday, where we're actually paying homage to Dad.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Then no. I mean, I do actually pay homage to Dad in my set anyway.
Yeah. Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Know,
you?
Yeah, because 80% of the set is me, then the rest of it is split up between the stuff I've done on The Voice, because people want to see that, and yeah. I had a lot of fun doing it, and then it will segue into doing, I'll do Rock Island and never form another again for Dad.
Oh, lovely.
And, well, for Dad, I'm Tom now.
Yeah.
and that way, you know, everybody gets a little bit of everything.
And they
get mostly the original stuff, you know. And I was at FFA Festival yesterday, and I only did Rock Island Never Fall of Dad, and that was, you know, and I did a bunch of the new things, which are on the new live album.
And yes, which we're going to talk about. If we can move nicely onto that.
Yeah.
what's the name of the new album?
Peter Donegan Live. Funny enough. I like to keep it simple.
Yes, yes, it's the best way to keep it, really. I mean, you don't want to start getting all complicated, otherwise people don't remember. But Peter Donegan Live, that's it. It's there, it's the name. Now, have you got any singles coming off it? That Soldier we just played, is that going to be a single?
Soldier is the song that I released as a free giveaway.
Right.
Recently, to everybody who was in my mailing list from my website, which is peterdonegan.com.
Yeah.
I gave that away just so people get a little bit of a taster of it, and hopefully they'll like it, and then they'll come and purchase it. Because all of the funding from it is going to my little man, Therapy for Autism, because my four-year-old, Eric, is autistic, you see.
Yes.
And the support for autism in the UK is, well, very, very poor compared to a lot of other countries, including where my wife's from, in Romania.
I know.
You know, they're at least 30 years behind countries like that here.
My cousin is autistic, and I've seen what his mum has got to go through and has been through as well to get him where he is now.
Yeah, it's hard. And as parents, you do everything you can for your children, because they are the centre of the universe.
Of course.
You know, and I know every parent out there, you know, agrees with that, because you don't plan it before you have kids, and then all of a sudden, you know, out they pop, and you hold them in your arms, and you just go, yep, it's you now.
Yeah.
You know, it's about you. You know, my wife is an absolute soldier. Everything she does, she's done all of the research. She is also his therapist, and organizer for his life. I mean, there isn't a second she doesn't spend with him. And it's paying off, because, I mean, with the therapy that we're doing, which costs about 47 grand a year.
Yeah, wow.
To do, which is not money you have in your back pocket, you know.
No, of course
that's
not.
Where all the proceeds went from Saturday night to all the album proceeds go to continuing it on. And God bless, you know, Van Morrison, Leo Sayer, Billy Bragg, Chris Farmer, everybody that turned up, you know, on Saturday for doing that for us.
Yeah.
Not just to pay homage to Dad, but to help us out as well. And and you can probably hear music in the background because my little man's actually in a therapy session with my wife, this therapist in the living room.
Oh, bless him.
And, this is the thing. He starts a strange sentences together, and all of a sudden, the other day, he completely shocked my wife and I, and we didn't know whether to laugh, cry, scream, whatever, because he gets I want biscuit, I want water, I want, something like that.
Yeah.
But we'll put the stuff in the way, we'll put the sales bins, we'll put them in the fridge, and he just casually walked into the kitchen, sang head, shoulders, knees and toes in its entirety, and left. And we went, what? It was like basically a mic drop.
Yeah, moments like that, you think, why didn't I have my phone on? why didn't I video that? Wow.
Yeah, shoulders, knees and toes, mic drop, leave. What do you hate? Come back in.
Has he done it since?
Actually, he's harvesting a lot of my songs now.
Oh, good.
He's still not stringing a full sentence together, but there he is, sitting in the bath, singing, we're not drinking beer, basically, but he's not singing it quite so fluently.
No.
He's just like, we drink beer moon, and then he goes, ooh, and I'm like, oh, that's not.
So if people want to check out the charity for that, how do they go about that?
Well, if you go to my website, peterdonigan.com,
yeah,
there you can find links to me. And if you go to Little Man Fund, obviously there's a place that we can make donations. If you still wish, I'll be very grateful, and I will respond to it, thank you. And you can read, if you click on that link, everything that's going on with here. So you can see the company that we're doing it all from, how much it all costs. And there's links there if you need to learn more about autism, from Autism Speaks. You can see stories from other people who are doing the same therapy that we're doing and the process that it entails. So everything is up there.
Oh, that's good. That's great. But you're not only just dealing with the Little Man charity, you're also involved with Homeless Worldwide, aren't you?
I am a proud member of Homeless Worldwide and the Salvation Army, yes. Because obviously, I'm a water rat, and for those who don't know what that is, it's basically like Freemasons, but in show business.
Yeah, I know.
Myself, Brian May, my dad was one, Rick Wakeman is one, Paul Daniels was, best of time before he passed away. And Laurel and Hardy, it goes back that far. Go back to the 1800s, actually.
Yeah.
And what we, we all pitched in, and it was a fellow water rat, Claire Morkian, who contacted me and said, here, look, there's this great charity. He said, I'm all going to record a single. And he ain't heavy, he's my brother. And he said, we've got some great people, Peter Andre's involved and a bunch of other, he said, Duncan, because Duncan Norvell's also a water rat. I said, yeah. He says, well, he's there. He said, you'll need an arm to lean on. I said, okay, fine. So I turned up and I met everybody involved. And I have to say, what a great bunch of people. And I've loved every minute. And it's heartwarming. It's tear-jerking being involved in it because I've always had something for heart. Now, I have touch wood. So far, never been homeless. I know people that have been or have ended up and come back again. And I've always, because my wife's Romanian, and there's one thing that you do when it's a Romanian tradition, on the anniversary of somebody passing or their birthday, you give somebody of the same gender, you make them a little bit of food or something as an offering in their name.
Right.
So there's one lad who's homeless on our street up here. He seems really, really nice, and he's never asking for money or anything like that, and he just seems to be grateful if anybody gets him a coffee or anything. So I make some cinnamon buns at home and on my grandfather-in-law's name day.
Yeah.
We ended up going up and giving him a tray of cinnabons and things like that,
Oh, wow.
And because there are people who end up in that situation through many different reasons, but they're still great people with so much to give, but they get treated like, a homeless cat or a rat on the street because it's almost like they're a different being.
Oh, I know.
And it's not true. They're still human beings with feelings and they've got so much to give because a lot of them are very young.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of young people out there on the street, and the country doesn't realise that. They just think that the homeless out there are just old people that have got nowhere to go or people that are of a middle age, but they're not. The more homeless out there, I think, are the young.
Yes. And I don't know, it was a mate of mine, actually, because he was saying, oh, well, they choose to live that way because, you know, there's benefits and everything. I said, it doesn't work like that.
No.
And I sat and spoke to a fellow called Tony, who's he's homeless, and he always sits outside the Water Rats pub, you know, and I was there because, you know, I was going to lodge with the Water Rats.
Yeah.
And I just sat and talked to him for a while because he was an interesting fella. And I said to him, I asked him, in my naivety, you know, in my ignorance, I said, well, how come you don't go to one of the shelters and things like that? Does it cost money to get in the shelter? He's like, it's not that. He said, you have no idea what goes on in those shelters at night. You know, they're stealing this. You get beaten up for whatever you've got, you know. And he says, you can't go to sleep because you're watching over your shoulder. You might get mugged in your sleep.
Oh, dear. That's...
He said, it's actually safer trying to find a church doorstep to sleep on or something.
Yeah. Well, some churches now actually open their doors at night, don't they? Have beds for the homeless to go into.
They do, which I'm very happy about, you know. But there's so much that needs to be done, you know. I had an idea a while ago, you know, if I had enough money, which I don't, it'd be good to sort of have apartments where you could give them a residence to register to, so they then, you know, they could start working, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And then be able to move on to something and get them, just give them that. Cause it's basically, imagine you're in a swimming pool, but you can't touch the edges. It's basically giving them that edge to pull themselves up on.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. That was a great analogy, Peter. And obviously, homeless worldwide are going from strength to strength at the moment. And are you an ambassador for them as well?
I'm an ambassador for homeless worldwide. And Jenny Roberts, who's put the whole thing together in honor of her brother who was homeless and passed away. She used to be homeless herself, actually. You know. Credit to them. I mean, they are.
They do a great job. I know we championed the signal single when it came out, and we play it a fair bit here on Phoenix FM as well.
I'm going to say something controversial now.
Go on.
I mean, nothing like Brexit. I'm just going to say it's basically that he's my brother. It's not a song I actually ever particularly liked. Thought it was okay, but I thought it was, you know, it just wasn't me, and that's just a personal thing. Music's a very personal thing.
Oh, I know.
But I really like this version. I know I'm biased, but if I try and, you know, distance myself from it, this is the best version of that song I've ever heard.
It has meaning, this version.
It has soul. It has meaning. It's really, really good.
And even the Hollies endorsed it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
You know, this is by far the best version. And I normally am a fanatic for liking originals.
Yeah.
You know, but no, I like this. I really, really like this.
Well, we're still playing. It's still available to download from iTunes and from all the other download sites. You could even get it on Spotify as well.
If you go and see it on YouTube as well, I mean, I'm only in the choir, but you can every now and then you can spot why I've been bugging it as well.
it's definitely worth it. And also, Homeless World, I think is it homelessworldwide.com is the website to go to if you want to check more out about that.
Hold on. Just to get it absolutely right, it's actually... because I've got it here, Homeless Worldwide, and I believe it is .. where have you gone? It's here somewhere. I think it's .org.
I did have it written down. I haven't got it written down at the moment.
No, I'm, as you can see, very underprepared right now. And it is one of the org ones.
Yeah, so it's homelessworldwide.org.
It's .org.uk.
Yes, sir. I will definitely look that up and give the listener a mention afterwards. In fact, after the news, because we've chatted so much, after the news, I'm going to play your single, Little Man, and hopefully people will go and find the album and go and peterdonegan.com. I'm going to, as I've got enough time, play Dad doing the Battle of New Orleans to take us up to the news.
Oh, that's a good one, yeah, because so many people, I mean, and I always fly the Donegan flag, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I'm very proud of Dad. One thing, I had a conversation with a few people, and I've actually had some fans on my Facebook page have an argument, which is very funny to watch. which was because somebody said, oh, yeah, I like to skiffle music, novelty music. And they went, what do you mean? They said, Mile Round of Dust was this But saying My Man to Dust, Lonnie Donegan equals My Man to Dust is like saying Chuck Berry equals My Ding-a-Ling.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, or the Beatles equals Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. There were a couple of Chewing Gum and My Old Man to Dust was a couple of comedy songs your dad did.
Dad did like making people smile because he was a very happy chappy.
Oh, he was. I think I never saw him on television without a smile on his face.
No, he was always he was just happy to be around. He was a lovely man. He had over 30 top 20 hits, and he was never out of the top 10. I don't think for 6 years.
Oh no, I know.
You know, that wasn't with novelty songs.
No, that was proper songs. Now, Peter, I'm going to have to go because I've got the news coming up. I'm going to have to play you both now after the news.
Brilliant.
It's been amazing talking to you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thank you so much for having me.
A pleasure. Don't hang up. I'll talk to you in a sec. Take care.
Thanks.
From the moment you were born, I knew that I'd adorn my heart and my sleeve. Give you all of me and more, right then is where I swore I'd love you more than you'd believe. Be there to throw and watch you grow into more than I could ever be. Yeah, my heart's beating fast, took my breath as you'd clasp on my finger holding tight. Embrace you in my arms, kiss your cheek and spin you yarns. Hold your smile, it feels so right. And there's something deep inside I have no answer for. And there's nothing you could say or do would change it. Yeah, I'll always be the one to hold. I'll stand by you, my little man. Lying in your crib with your hand under your head, and I'd whisper a prayer full of words that I'd left unsaid. Yeah, I'm always by your side. You're the best thing I've ever done. Yeah, you're the best thing about me. You're my son. And there's nothing you could say or do would change it. I'll always be the one to hold your hand. That's just who I am. And I'll stand by you, my little man. Yeah, there's nothing you could say or do would change it. I'll always be the one to hold your hand. Thank you. Thank you very much.